But we've been talking about it's time to arise and build. And we started out looking at Nehemiah. And if you read in Nehemiah, he lays out for you so many keys to building. Now, what you have to understand about this, though, is those principles apply to building something corporate, but they also apply to your individual destiny. The map for you walking in purpose and destiny is in Nehemiah. And I covered that on the first week. But what the Lord has impressed me to do is go back and take each one of those things and really build on them. So number one, the first thing that we have to understand is this, that building or even destiny is both corporate and individual. And we've had this mentality of the church being an entity by itself, not realizing that the corporate church is just a bunch of individuals. So whatever you are, the church is. So whatever you are complaining about, you're the problem, because you are the church. If you want your church to change, then you be that change. You begin to demonstrate in your character what you want that church to be, because the church is not a separate entity. It's you. You're it. So that's where we've really been. And last week we began to understand that the Bible tells us that we are the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is exactly like the human body, and you can't function, your natural body can't function without all its particular members doing what they're supposed to do. Nor can a local church function until everybody gets activated. We've been hitting the point, and I'm not going to hit that much today, because I know I've made some of you mad, but sitting on a pew is not in there. That's not part of the parts. That's not a particular member. There's something for you to do. And our mission here is to activate everybody to where everybody is functioning in some part of the body. When you do that, you can win a city. Just like I told you, a goal for us is 100 ministries coming out of this one house. Well, you can't sit on a pew and do that. But in order for you to do that, and here's where we're going today. How can that happen? How could there be 100 ministries? There must be 100 people with vision. See, God wants to give you a vision for your particular function in the body of Christ. And unlike traditional churches, we're not afraid when you come to us and tell us that you have a vision. We're going to sit down with you, make a plan for that vision, train you for that vision, and as long as you come under authority, we're going to bless that vision. But where I'm trying to get you to, if we're going to arise and build, or if you yourself are going to walk in your destiny, you have to get vision. You must have vision. So I want to talk to you about vision some today. I'm going to have to do a little review to get there, though. Have a book on this. Just need to sit down and finish it. Glory to God. I need to go away somewhere. I need to go up to Moravian Falls for about a week, and then I'll come back with this book finished. So last week we understood that you are a particular member of the body of Christ. You are a body part, and nobody else can function in that. So until we get each particular member understanding what their function is, we don't fully function as a body. Well, so now that we've discovered that each person has a role to play, we have to get each person to get a vision. Because we have to take those particular members and they have to begin to get a vision for that function. So you have to get a personal vision. And what happens is your personal vision comes under the covering of a corporate vision. But the corporate vision, Sean said it, write the vision, make it plain. Why? So other people can run with it. It's the people that are supposed to run with the vision. So the Lord wants to give you individual vision that comes under the covering of the corporate vision. See, we want to win a city. So the Lord may begin to give you a vision to do evangelism in unusual ways. He may begin to give you a vision to feed people, have a soup kitchen. You name it. You fill in the blanks. But we've got to have everybody come to that place where they have received that vision, and it's all functioning out of the same house. So you need vision. Now, where I'm going to have to do a little bit of review here really quickly is this. You cannot get vision until you know your purpose. See, you have to understand the relationship between vision and purpose. Many people don't get this. You can know your purpose, and not develop vision around it. But you actually will never develop vision at all until you know your purpose, because vision stems from purpose. So you begin to, the Lord begins to reveal to you what your purpose is. You begin to know, I'm a toe, I'm a finger, I'm an eye. Then once you know that, only then you then begin to develop a vision based on what you know your purpose is. So vision starts with knowing your purpose. Now purpose is knowing why you were born. Now, if you go back to Genesis, you find the nature of God. We're real early this morning, so I'm going to teach you. If you go back to Genesis, you find the nature of God. In the beginning, God created, and he created all of these various things, right? Well, we know that, and we teach it in Sunday school. But a hidden nugget in there is, God didn't create any of those things just because they were cool. So the whole earth was covered with water. God drew some of the water back and left land because it was pretty. Now go read Genesis again. Go read the creation again. Everything he did, he had a purpose for what he did. So we're clearly told, and I'm not going to go through all these. I've done it before, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to skip through it. But we are told clearly then that, if I can find where I want to go here. I'm wrong. I got two techie things up here. I got to go to the other one. So here's what we find. We find God said, let there be lights. And God created the sun and the moon. But he didn't create them for beauty. He created them for purpose. It clearly says he created them for signs and seasons and days and years. He said the sun was made. Why was it made? To rule the day. The moon was made. Why was it made? To rule the night. He had a purpose for it. God set them to give light upon the earth. Now, God didn't take all the water. He left some of the water. Why did he leave the water? Because we love the ocean and the ocean's beautiful? No. It clearly tells us, I'm trying to get you to see how your life has to function. You have to have something on the inside of you, a vision on the inside of you, a purpose moving on the inside of you. It clearly tells us the water was for moving creatures to fill the waters. He had a purpose for the water. He created man, the dominion mandate. He put man on earth for a purpose. To walk in dominion over all the other things that he created. He had a purpose for it. So what I'm trying to see, get you to see is this. Anything God creates, he creates for a purpose. Now we have people been sitting in pews that don't get that. You really think that the sun and moon is more valuable than you? If he had a purpose for everything he created, his greatest creation is you. He said, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I already had a plan and a purpose for your life. He says in Psalm that he's written down all your days in his book. I've told you over and over, he finished you and went back and started you. It's already been written down for you. That's what it says. He knows the end of a thing from a beginning. He finishes it and goes back and starts it. That's the nature that's in us. When you build a house, you don't build it. The house is built before they lay the foundation. They can show you where the doors are, show you where all the partitions are. That's what you were created to do. You're not put here just to warm a bench. You're put here to do something, to have purpose. And the Lord wants you to see the whole trip before you get there. He wants to give you vision. You cannot live without vision. But you can't understand vision until you understand purpose. If you want to know your purpose, you got to delight yourself in the Lord. Because he says, delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. What is that? Give you a new Rolls Royce? No. If you delight yourself in the Lord, if you make him your desire, he will cause you to desire what he put in you in the beginning. You have a GPS on the inside of you. There's like a magnet on the inside of you. And it's pulling you towards something. But see, a lot of us get so cluttered down with life, and we buy into the mindset that there's nothing for us to do, that we don't respond to the pulling. But he said he would give you the desire of your heart. That means he will put his desire in your heart. So when you begin to start desiring to do a thing that you know in your natural mind you really don't even halfway want to do, it's him. It's this thing of purpose. Nobody teaches fish to swim. Nobody teaches roosters to crow. Nobody teaches dogs to bark. They're born with something on the inside of them that has a natural propensity to do that thing. That's the way you are, but you've been covering it up. Or else we've lived in a church world where they don't allow us to do it anyway. A lot of people are doing things in the world that they'd like to be doing in the church. But the church couldn't find a manual for your way of doing music. So you had to go do it in the world. Hello? So I want to share some things with you about purpose before I can talk to you about vision. One of my favorite things in the world here. Give you some clues to your purpose. Number one, problems reveal purpose. What do you see as a problem? What's a problem that just sticks out to you that drives you nuts? Sign from God. What is it that annoys you greatly? What is the problem that you just got to fix? It was born in you. He placed it in you. What you see as a problem reveals to you what you're on this earth for. God wants to use you in healing, you'll hate sickness. You'll despise cancer with every fiber of your being. If he's called you to teach, you'll hate ignorance. You'll see the poverty that comes from lack of education. Something will stir on the inside of you, and the way you will view that is, if I could just get them educated, they could have a better life. What's the problem that you see? The problem you see that really stirs you up. I feel Jesus right now giving revelation. Some of you have been sitting on a church pew for years, but I'm giving you help right now. And see, what we tend to do is this. When the desire God places in us, you know what the first thing we do is? Start looking around and see if anybody else is doing it. What about pioneers? I got news for you. Nobody wasn't singing this music around here when we started it. Nobody wasn't prophesying around here when we started it. One of the number one things that will keep you from walking in purpose is you look around and see if anybody else is doing it, and God may have called you to birth it as a pioneer. So don't be looking around. If God's put something unusual in you, there's all kinds of unusual ways of evangelism and ministry. And you need to not just look around. But what's the problem? Problems reveal purpose. What would you most want people to say about you? I got this one down. Might make you mad when I do it, but it's never going to change. I know that. What would you most like people to say about you? I know that for me. He encouraged me. Period. It's the whole blood, it's everything that flows in my body. You might not like the encouragement, but I will never allow you to be where you are. I will always be behind you, kicking you in the seat of your pants. Because you can do better. You can do more. No, don't stop yet. You're better than that. Yes. What is that for you? What do you want people to say about you? That'll reveal some things. Oh, I love this. I could teach this every day. What do you enjoy? Hear me. Many people are missing God's purpose in their life because we've been taught, because of our old religious mindset, that anything of the will of God is supposed to be a drudgery. Well, I'm just hanging on to Jesus comes. He just put this weight and this heavy burden on me. A man who finds his purpose will never work a day in his life. Not a day does it bother me to lead a ministry. Not a day does it bother me to pastor. Because you never work a day. Hours of working on a building down the road don't bother me at all. If you'd have been down there when we was unloading that 53-foot trailer, you'd have figured that out, because I never stopped. It's not work to me. It's play. When you find your purpose, it's not a drudgery. And so many people are missing God's will for their life because they're expecting it to be hard. They can't realize that it could just come natural to you. Surely God won't let me do what comes natural to me. Well, I bet you can relate to that, can't you? If it comes natural to you, His grace can be on it. And if you try to be what other people tell you to be, and not flow in that natural thing that's on the inside of you, you'll miss him. Now, if you're living like the devil, smoking, toking, drinking, then that might not be true. But if you begin to delight yourself in him, you'll start to want to do something. And if your life is fully committed to him, you didn't put that want to in there. The natural thing will begin to happen in you if you'll spend time with him. Or if you don't have no prayer life, it won't happen. But when you begin to have a devotional life, the thing that he's created in you, you'll naturally start to want to do that. And what we learned last week is you already have a particular grace to do that. What gives you a sense of accomplishment? What makes you feel fulfilled? What makes you lose track of time when you do it? What is it in your life when you look up, you say, my God, I've been doing this for 3 hours? What makes you lose track of time? What are you naturally good at? What do people tell you you're good at? Don't miss that clue. If you've had tons and tons of people that say to you, oh Lord, that must be good. That's either good or bad. Somebody's coming to join Elizabeth, or they just got revelation. What do people see? If there's a natural thing flowing in you, people will recognize it a lot of times before you do, and they'll begin to tell you. What is it that you hear over and over and over? Sometimes that's God revealing purpose. I'm trying to tell you, you first got to get purpose before you can develop vision. Here's a good one. Somebody's going to know their calling right now in this minute. What do people often seek your help with? There's not a doubt in my mind that Tony's called to counseling. Because they've been coming to her for years, seeking her help. She's been married to me for 20-some years to get practice. Think about that. What do people often seek your help with? If they're seeking you out, first of all, people's pride won't let them seek help for much of nothing. So if they're seeking it from you, it's because they see something in your life in operation. What is that? Lord, don't let anybody go into 2018 without knowing what they're called to, what their purpose is, and get a vision for it. Don't let anybody in Father's House International Church not know what their purpose is and have a vision around it. That's our prayer. Here is a good one. If I called you, you have no choice. No choice in the matter. I'm the dictator. You've got to do what I say. And I call you this week and say, on Wednesday, you're teaching. You have to teach. I feel the Holy Spirit. I know revelation's getting... What would you teach on? There's your answer to your purpose. You have to do it. What's the first thing comes into your mind? I'm going to teach on. That's a big key to purpose. Really is. My favorite one. And I pray this is what you get out of this whole thing. As you go from 2017 to 2018, don't waste your life. This is the thing here that I refuse to do. If you get the call that you have a very short amount of time to live, what will you regret not doing? It's the answer almost every time. Because in that moment when you hear that news, it reveals to you that thing that you've been ignoring, that GPS, that draw on the inside of you, that's the thing that will reveal it most. What will you regret not doing? I refuse to die. I made my decision 2 years ago. I may sink. It may be terrible. I may not accomplish it. But I will not die having not begun anything that I would regret not doing. Now, if you will just take some time before the Lord and answer that question, you'll really have your answer. And that you can fill many things into that blank. I mean, I said this last week. The older I get, the more I love people. No, Lord, I ain't gonna cry. Have you not ever noticed sometimes when I pray for people, I just cry because I love people. And see, what you have to understand is it's all about people. Ministry ain't about you, it's about people. That's what Jesus was trying to teach us. And the people we really need to touch aren't even in here a lot of the times. Hello? They're not here. How many people are ready to commit suicide this morning because all they need is a kind word or a friend or somebody to be kind to them? It's all about people. Your destiny will be about people. And I just find the more I grow, the more I just love people. All different kinds of people. Strange people, weird people. Because people are unique. And they all have something that adds to your life. And there's literally no words to describe what a leader or a pastor goes through in something like this. I mean, do you understand that I just get to keep adding to my family? Do you understand that the love never ends? Do you understand that the Lord keeps bringing people in and you make a personal connection with them and you start to really love those people and you carry them in your heart and it's like your family just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the body of Christ. This is not an organization. See, we have to get that. That's somewhere I'd like to go soon. We've got to understand this is a family, not an organization. And it's the only family that the Lord can just keep growing and growing and growing. Don't care how many babies you have in the natural, you got to quit sometime. Things are going to stop working sometime. But when you become part of the family of God, it never ends. I mean, I'm reminded right now, just a neat thing. Here we are in Florida at the beach. Every evening I'm seeing a guy go out at next to dark and go out in a kayak all the way out in the middle of the ocean. And I'm like, what in the world is this guy thinking? It's shark time. Well, a few days later, we meet this guy. He knows it's shark time. He's taking bait out for the sharks on his kayak. And so we're on the beach that next evening, and he catches one. And we're there. And just because we're there in that moment, guess what we find? Another brother and sister in the body of Christ, because he does it, takes videos, uses it to share the gospel. Family just grew. You can't do that anywhere else in the world. Go to a foreign nation. There's no way to explain it to you. Can't even understand a word you're saying. But when you come up to the prayer line, I begin to lay hands on you and prophesy over you. You're just like my own son or daughter. You're my family. You look different than I do. I can't explain it to you. Sean can tell you. It's one of the things that changes your world. You realize this thing about the body of Christ is real. Because here's this person you cannot communicate with at all, and you have such a connection with them. It's real. If you go outside of the nations and minister, you'll figure out what we have become accustomed to and what we just take for granted. You'll figure out this thing's real, because it's not possible for you to feel that for someone you don't even know and can't even talk to. It's real. We are a body. That's a long rabbit trail right there. I'd like to take the time to read you this, but it's 12:15. I got a good 30 minutes, so we can get into vision. I do want you to hear this, though, because this is how we function. This is how we live. My young mentor class, yeah, I read this to you a little bit back, but there was once a man who, his name was Sean Boone. There once was a man who netted 3 trout from a mountain stream, and he carefully placed them side by side on a thick patch of grass. Before he removed them from the water, They were like a liquid ballet in motion, fluid, graceful, vibrant, alive. After he netted them, it was another story. As the trout lay on the grass, they were motionless. Their eyes were fixed. They gasped for air, and they looked and acted stupid. The man noticed they seemed unhappy, so he talked to them, hoping that this encouragement would change them. Little fish, don't be sad. You better hear the Holy Ghost. This is what some people have been doing to you your whole life. Little fish, don't be sad. You'll like the grass. You'll learn to like the grass. Just try it out for a while. No movement, no response, no change. A few more seconds passed. The man's neighbor walked by. Hey, Bob, come and check out these fish. Bob sauntered over, and the man explained that he was certain the fish could adjust. You've been told that all your life. Just go the path that I go. Just be like me. God didn't call you to be like them. He put something on the inside of you. I'm sure they could prosper here on the grass. Don't you agree? Why not? Bob replied. Your first problem is you need to get Bob out of your life. You need to quit hanging around Bob. You need to get around some people that walk in his wisdom and something inside of them stirs you to go the direction you're supposed to go. He joined the party. He also tried to tell a fish it would be good if they learned to like the grass. Can you get a visual of that? Come on, little fishy. Just do what you were doing in the water. Some of you all your life, they've been trying to get you to do what you would do in the water on the land, but you weren't created to be on the land. What's the saying in that song? You know what I'm talking about. I can't pull it out of my head. A ship is safe in a harbor, but it's not what it was created for. Do you want to be safe, or do you want to do what you were created for? There's risk involved in purpose. You can stay safe, but you'll die regretting some things. A ship is safe in a harbor, but it's not what it was created for. It's what they're doing to this fish. So now Bob gets involved. Still the fish didn't blink. They just lay there looking dumber by the second. Now, I'd like to say something right there. The longer you keep trying to swim in grass, in other words, not walking according to the purpose that's on the inside of you, you're looking dumber by the seconds. I want you to hear that spiritually. Do you want to go into 2018 looking dumber by the second? Or do you want to begin to function in that thing that's deep on the inside of you? Finally, a little boy approached. Oh, boy, I could preach right here. Except you repent and become as a little child. A little child don't have the hang-ups. It functions and flows in the natural revelation of God until we grow it up and make it act like us and be religious and tell it, you can't see stuff. Well, he was seeing stuff. We told him not to. So along comes a little boy, and he exclaimed, what are you doing? Put them back. They cannot be all they've been created to be while they're out of the water. Finally convinced, the man carefully placed each fish back in the stream. After splashing for a split second, all three swam away effortlessly. Again, it was like a liquid ballet. What ease, what grace, what beauty. That's what it is when you function in your place. It's frustrating to try to function in somebody else's place. You have something to add that nobody else can add. And when you're in that place, it's grace. It's full of grace. So now we're talking about the connection between purpose and vision. We can't understand vision until we have purpose. Understand purpose. So purpose is knowing what you were put on earth for. Vision is seeing how you will fulfill that. Two different things. Purpose is knowing what you're here for. Vision is a detailed plan of how you will fulfill that. It's quiet. So moving into how you would do it is vision. Vision is the written blueprint or plan to fulfill your purpose. That's what it is. Now you know purpose. See, now think about how it works again in building. We're talking about a rise and build. You bought a piece of land, and your purpose is, you've purposed in your heart to build a house on that piece of land. What will you do next? You will have to make a detailed plan of how you will fulfill that purpose of that house. So vision is a blueprint, a written blueprint of the plan to fulfill the purpose. Vision is more than mere interest. You will not get vision if you're casual about a thing. People begin to walk in vision when they tap into their passion. See, that's where passion is also your key. How did Sean Boone figure out that he was called to evangelize and do that stuff more so than pastor? Passion. Get in your place of passion. What is that? That's a key. That's a clue. So vision is not mere interest. Vision is birthed from passion. Passion is a strong and barely controllable emotion. I just helped you. What stirs that barely controllable emotion in you? Y'all think I'm being mean to you a lot of times. No. Why do I tell you what I tell you every Sunday morning? You know good and well we want you to pray, but you wait to be asked. Because there's a passion on the inside of me to see people come in to what God has, to the place of prayer. Are you understanding me? Uncontrollable passion. I want you to experience this thing. You're passionate about what God has placed in you to do. And vision comes from that place of passion. Vision will enable you to persevere through great obstacles. You need to understand that. Yeah, I am going to skip over here. Morgan steals my stuff, but I'm going to say it again anyway. See, we're told, and I'm going to skip through this fast. I'm not going to spend all kinds of time on it, but you have to understand the scripture says where there's no vision, the people. Well, in how we interpret that is they're going to die. Perish means die. No, uh-uh. See, you've got to get a vision for your life. If you don't have a vision for your life, you will perish. Let me run through these quickly. Perish means, so if you don't get a vision for your life, you will be unbridled, uncontrolled, unrestrained, and out of control. You will just do anything with no thought of the consequences. Nothing will govern your life. You don't have a vision, you can do anything you want to. You can sleep to 10, you can sleep to 12, you can sleep to 1. You can come to church and you can not come to church. But when you get vision, you have you not ever noticed that the worship team's here? The ministry team's here on Sunday? What's the difference between them and you? Vision. Because you're unbridled, uncontrolled. That's what perish means. You're naked, uncovered, unprotected, and left exposed. Your vision protects you because it keeps you from making dumb decisions. When Miss Hottie comes in a miniskirt with red shoes on, twisting her parts, if you don't have vision, you're just like a lamb to the slaughter. But if you got vision on the inside of you, it begins to protect you. You're left naked and uncovered without vision. Vision protects you. So you can say no to some things. See, I got news for you. When you say yes to vision, you are empowered to say no to the wrong things. You're unready and unprepared. A person without a vision is unready and unprepared. You're not. See, if that's what I'm trying to tell you. How long are you going to do what you're doing right now? Because when opportunity knocks, you will not be able to answer. Because you didn't get a vision for it and start to prepare for it. You have to prepare for your vision. You have to train yourself now. The stuff that I'm teaching now in my life, I studied 15 years ago, never knowing that I'd be looking at you. You've got to begin. Vision will cause you to get prepared. Because when you build, let's go back to the house now, where our purpose is to build a house. We now have a vision of the house. What do we got to do? We've got to prepare. Vision causes us to prepare. But see, you don't have to prepare. You can just eat all the donuts that you want. You can have no prayer life if you have no vision. It's okay. You can think, oh, why in the world are they praying all night long? Because you don't have any vision. But when you get vision, you move to a place where you're trying to get prepared. I'm not talking to anybody today. It also means withdrawn, unwilling to work, and unmotivated. You know why you have to beg people to come to church? Because they don't have any vision. See, that's what I'm trying to get into you, your value. You don't realize it matters if you're here or not. You don't have a vision. But when you get vision, if you don't have vision, you're unmotivated. Lead the nation in poverty. 14 generations of the family being on welfare. Their vision was to live on a check because daddy lived on a check and uncles lived on a check. What is the issue? Unmotivated because of lack of vision. Do you know that there are a whole lot of unmotivated people in McDowell County, West Virginia? And do you know we tend to focus on that? I'd like for you to see a list of how many highly successful people in government and business that came out of McDowell County. What was the difference? Vision. See, when you have a vision, it takes all that, it brings motivation. You're no longer unmotivated. You're going to do whatever you got to do. There are successful people all over this world who grew up in the same circumstances. The only difference is vision took out that lack of motivation. They let poverty motivate them. They got vision to get out of it. It would blow your mind if you knew how many successful people. Just drive down someday and you'll see somebody roll up in a Mercedes to visit their parents. What's the difference? Vision. Motivation. One of the main problems in the church is people are unteachable. They're rebellious. That's why most people don't want to be pastors. Because the people got a head like a rock. They think they know more than you do and they're unteachable. That's what the word perish means. Someone with no vision will be unteachable. But the minute you get a vision for your life, you will sit under wise men and say, tell me what I'm doing wrong. If you can't say, tell me what I'm doing wrong, you haven't got vision yet. Because the vision is so overpowering and passionate within you that I want you to tell me what I'm doing wrong, sir, so that I can walk in everything God has for me. But see, unteachable is a manifestation of no vision. Got a head like a rock. No vision. Unbraiding, unravel, means to unravel, disconnect. A person without vision withdraws, becomes disconnected. Yes. There are some people in this transition that are somewhere fishing this morning, most likely. And the only difference is they had no vision. Unmotivated, withdrawn, begin to pull yourself away from the body. See, that's why I'm teaching this to you. You've got to catch the vision of this whole thing. And you've got to understand your role in it. I don't have to worry about you falling off the wagon and not being a part. If you begin to catch the vision, you can't wait to see what God's going to do in the next 3 years. You can't wait to see the cars and the people coming in the parking lot to hear the word of the Lord. You can't wait to hear the news somewhere in North Carolina about what God's doing in a church in Bluefield. See, when you begin to get the vision, I don't have to worry about you becoming disconnected. Anybody who gets connected to the vision. Now we can look at this transition right here. All the people that made this transition from ITL, they're the ones that had the vision. The others didn't have it yet. Are you understand that? Because they became disconnected. You can't do nothing about that. You can love, you can cast vision, but they have to take that vision and run with it. You will always lose people that don't become connected to the vision. And you can't keep them because the issue is they become disconnected. Vision causes you to be connected. You realize if you've got a vision in your life, you need to be here getting equipped and trained. So you can't afford to be away because there might be information that gets you to your destiny. I'm having fun. I don't know if you are or not. So let me tell you some things now. That's what your life is like when you don't have vision. I don't know why I keep saying this, but make your decision now that I will not go into 2018 without a vision for my life. Do you have a vision statement for your life? Do you have a vision statement for your family? Any place you have not do not have a written down vision, you're just hoping. Do you have a plan? And see, here's what happens. It ties in with what I just said. Vision enables you to persevere through great obstacles. There's a lot of people in here this morning. About 10 years ago, it was me and Tim and Tony on a Friday night. And everything on the outside said, "You quit. You're an idiot. You're a fool." Vision causes you to persevere. You cannot afford to not have vision, because when life sucker punches you, you'll lay down and stay down. But vision will cause you to, no matter, like weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, baby. You'll be a spiritual weeble. Every time that it hits you, you'll just pop right back up on your feet, because vision keeps you. You persevere through obstacles. So you mean we have to have church where the commode flushes in the middle of the sanctuary? Yes, but let's go on, because vision drives one through obstacles. You'll press through obstacles. The picture of the future keeps you from quitting. I saw you long before you got here. That's why I didn't quit when everything in me said quit. There would be mornings I would come in. And all of a sudden, in the middle of worship, I could get a sense and I could feel you coming. Are you hearing me? That's why you got to have vision. No, don't quit. Keep going. I feel them. I sense them. They're out there. There's hundreds of them out there. Vision will keep you from quitting. Paul said, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing. One thing I do. I forget what's behind me and I reach and I press toward the mark. Do you understand that's a vision? Paul had a mark. Do you have a mark? If you don't have a mark, you have nothing that you're pressing toward. You're dying today. Someone without a vision is in a process of dying right now. If you don't have a vision, you're dying. Paul was Paul because he had a mark that he was pressing toward. Is there a mark in your life? Or are you just taking a ride? Are you going somewhere or are you just driving? True vision will be unselfish. If it comes from God, it'll always be about other people. Even if the Lord has anointed you in the marketplace to start businesses and stuff like that, behind it will be, you know what? If I prosper, I can take care of some people. You understand that? My favorite show on TV. I'm going to tell you. Blue Bloods. It's the best show on TV. Best show been on in years. Ain't no question about it. Donnie Wahlberg. Read it in Facebook the other day. Goes to Waffle House in Charlotte, North Carolina. Leaves $2,000 tip. Why? If I'm not mistaken, it said he'd worked in one. Vision's about other people. Vision is from God is never unselfish. God, I gotta hurry. Jesus is all up in here. True vision will be both individual and corporate. We've already been talking about that. Your vision will be found in the context of a larger vision. It will fit someone else's. Now, there's number one, our pride. One of the reasons we don't fulfill our vision and purpose is we want to do it ourselves. Your vision is always connected to someone else's vision. If you're prideful and you're not willing, see, sometimes you got to give up in order to fulfill the vision. Sometimes you got to release some things in order to actually get to the point that you were trying to get to. And if you hang on to it, you'll die. But sometimes you got to give it up and connect it to someone else in order to fulfill the overall vision that you have. God gives a vision to an individual, and then he transfers it to the group. And the group runs with the vision because it allows theirs to be accomplished as well. Did you hear that? What's Father's House International Church? I just told you right there. You've got a vision of your own, and you come here with just a little bit of selfishness, knowing that the DNA that's functioning here will the teaching and the training and the mentoring and the equipping will get you what you need to accomplish what you're put here for. That's the way it works. Now, let me give you some obstacles real quick. Number one, obstacles to vision. Number one, not specific enough. You have to understand, vision is very specific. Just like a blueprint for a house. They know where the closets are. They know where the entrances are. One of the things that will keep you from walking in vision is not being specific enough. You need both a mission statement and a vision statement. They're not the same thing. Mission and vision are not the same thing. Mission is a general statement of purpose that declares the overall idea you want to accomplish. Sean Boone, for example. I use Billy Graham, and the last time I taught this, we'll use Sean Boone this morning. My mission is to evangelize the world. That's mission. That's not enough. Mission is the overall thing, but vision is a very precise statement that has a special emphasis and definable boundaries. See, we move from the mission being to evangelize the world to I will evangelize the world by da 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 da. Then it becomes a specific vision. Now let's look at Billy Graham. Well, nobody has to ask. Billy Graham's mission was to evangelize. What was his vision? To do it in stadium events all across the world. That was the specific vision part. See, you have to have both. You can't just have mission. Mission is the overall view. Vision is very specific. Number two, indecision. Indecision will kill vision. You have to get started. Don't wait for all the stars to line up in the right place. Let me tell you something. When you step out into what God's called you to do, you're never going to feel like you're qualified. If you feel like you're qualified, don't even start because you've missed it. Anything God calls you to do, you're not qualified to do. And when you figure that out, anointing will come on you to do it. But if you think you can do it, you don't know what you're talking about. Some of you are dealing with issues right now because you thought you knew what you were doing and you still haven't figured out. You haven't come to the place of acknowledging, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Now, Lord, show me. You have to understand that. Indecision, but you have to start. Everything's not going to line up perfect. Once you start, the Lord will make adjustments even if you are a little off. Don't get in the paralysis of analysis. Start. I got news for you. Some of you think, oh my God, I'm glad I wasn't here 10 years ago, but I'm not the person I was when I started this deal. I can look back and think, my God, I sure didn't love people as much as I do now. But see, you got to start, and the Lord will work things out as you move. But as long as you don't make a start and you have indecision, it's possum time again. Every dead possum is indecision. He got out in the middle and couldn't make up his mind. Is he going this way or this way? And where he went is to hell. Big Mac truck. Wah, wah. Don't be the possum splattered in the middle of the road. Make up your mind. Get out of indecision and move forward. Number three, trying to do too much. Please hear me. If you want to walk, you've got to narrow your vision down. You have to take the overall vision and take it step by step. Some people start their vision and quit because they get frustrated, because they think nothing's being accomplished. You got to eat the elephant one bite at a time. It's kind of like an example probably is what's going on in the building in Brush Fork. If you'd have walked in there 3 weeks ago, you said, oh my God, well, Anthony just did this to me yesterday. He came in yesterday and he's like, darn. See, are you understand that? You got to take it a step at a time. You can't get frustrated. And a visionary has a pitfall. One of the pitfalls of a visionary is they can see the whole thing, and then when they start it, they get frustrated because it's not there yet. But you can't get frustrated. You have to take it a step at a time. You have to let it unfold, and you can't try to force it. That's the one thing I've learned from planning a church, from me and my wife. You can't force a thing. You just have to let it happen. And you have to see where God has you in the moment, because each place He's trying to teach you something that you will need for the next level. Are you hearing me? Trying to do too much. You're called to be a specialist. You were not born to do everything. You were born to do something. If you aim at everything, you hit nothing. What do we want in Father's house? A bunch of specialists. This is a house of specialists that know their place and they function in their realm. Because vision, if you try to do too much, it'll kill you. You find the thing that you do well and you focus on it. But if you try to do too much, all you're going to get is frustrated, and you're also going to frustrate your followers. Staff your weaknesses. Pull people around you to do what you're not good at. Number four, making excuses will kill vision. I'll do it when. If only then I will. Got to get rid of excuses. Number five, thinking too small. For as a man, Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I'm going to teach you something real clear about vision. You have to function like you're already there. You have to preach to five like you want to preach to 50,000. If you can't do that, you'll never stand before 50,000. Please understand this. There's some good stuff here. Lord, will you let me finish? Function like you're already there. That's a secret. I'm going to tell you, if you're on a job that you can get promoted, I'm going to tell you how to get promoted. I'm going to tell you how to get promoted 100% of the time. Start doing and functioning in the person's job that's in the position you want now, and you'll get that promotion. Before, you can't wait till you get the call. You can't wait till you get the position. You start functioning in that realm now, and you'll get promotion. That's the way vision works. You've got to start putting things into place now as if you had 1,000 people. You got to start running with excellence as if you had 1,000 while you have 20. This is a principle in Scripture. Wrong talk. One thing that'll kill your destiny and your vision quicker than anything is your negative words. Let me give you a leadership key here. If you are a leader, you must never complain to the people that are following you. It's over. Your leadership is done. They no longer respect you if you show that to them. The Lord showed me this clearly the other day. If you're on a ship and you're the captain of a ship and you're in the middle of a storm, you don't say, "Oh my God, fellas, I don't know if we're going to make it." No, that person commanding that ship will say, "We're going to make it right up until the end." If you are a leader, you cannot complain downward. You cannot whine downward. You must always show strength as a leader. Now, what you do is complain upward. You have somebody in your life you can go do that with. But if you do it to people and you show your frustration to people who are following you, they're going to quit following you because their lack of confidence in you will die. The people follow leadership because of strength. They follow people naturally stronger than them, the law of respect. So when you begin to show weakness and confusion, for God's sake, don't ever share confusion with people that are following you, because it moves them off track. They begin to be scared. They don't know whether they can begin to move forward or keep moving forward with you or not. Got to go. Lack of patience, number seven. It's a process. Hebrews 10:36, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Do you notice that? Even after you've done the will of God, you still need patience because it don't happen right then. And the word here is not patience as much as perseverance. It's a process, perfecting your character, small steps. God makes a man or woman before He makes a ministry. He's actually working on you. The process is working on you and me. Connections. You have to have the right connections to walk in your vision. That's where we started with Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the cupbearer of the king. The king could give him everything he needed. He didn't even know that he was going to have this vision yet. But connection is necessary for vision. Somebody has the ability, like I told you, to get you to the next level. One relationship can change your world forever because somebody can open doors for you and move your vision along when you can't do it on your own. One relationship. You need the help of others. Be smart enough to seek out those who are already there. Connecting to the wrong people is critical. I'm going to say it to you again. I've said it a million times. I'm going to keep saying it. When the Lord wants to move you closer to destiny, He puts a person in your life. When the devil wants to move you from destiny, He puts a person in your life. There is nothing no more critical than who you choose to be in relationship with. Number 9, not preparing. You got to prepare for your vision. It's not enough to have vision. You got to start working on it. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. You got to understand, sometimes preparing is not a pleasure. And sometimes we don't recognize the season that we're in, where we're in preparation. I was going to say this, but it's in my notes. Been saying this one for years too. Karate Kid. Who watched Karate Kid? I want to be a champion. I want to be a killer. But see, what happened first? Wax on, wax off. Well, don't, sir, this is stupid. I came here to learn how to fight. Wax on, wax off. Wax on, wax off. That's where the Lord's taking you, is wax on and wax off. You've done seen the whole thing, and now you're frustrated, but He's just doing some wax on and wax off. He's just getting you to get inside of you what it takes to get to that level. And many times we get frustrated and quit, not recognizing it's His process. And the last one is wrong choices. I kind of touched on this earlier. Your vision will determine your choices. It allows you to say no to things. For example, if God has placed vision in your heart for Bluefield, West Virginia, they can offer you a pastorate for $100,000 a year in a state somewhere else, you'll not be able to go. They can dangle good things in front of you, and they will to manipulate you. That don't have nothing to do with you, by the way. It came in my head after I said it. But people will dangle things in front of you and promise you great things to manipulate you. And if you don't have vision, it's easy to fall for that. But if you know your purpose and your vision, you're able to say no. So it helps you. Wrong choices will cause you to miss your vision. Let your vision determine your priorities. Does this choice line up with my vision? I just told you how to make great decisions. You're wrestling with a decision? Ask yourself simply, does this decision move me toward that vision or farther away? But see, if you don't have vision, you just do, well, they pay me $100,000 a year. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll go there. And it ain't good on the other side of the fence. That weren't where you're supposed to be. $40,000 in peace is better than $100,000 miserable. And you will be miserable unless you function in what your vision and